Oriented so that teachers can be oriented program was scheduled to be last May. Total number of 958 officials were taken, so that should be that was completed. To take orientation. A total of 968 officials were taken through the orientation program. DB identified a subject that violated from different provinces to establish a training team and they implemented the orientation program. In terms of initiatives to improve teaching and learning and implementation of the curriculum, test documents were distributed to schools and districts so that students are aware of what's contained in those documents. We provided question and answer booklets, self-study guides, CDs, support for implementation of tests in the foundation studies, included providing a DVD on good practice. We provided assessment item banks to improve assessment, and additional 3,500 assessment item bank files were printed and distributed to schools. And honorable members, we can see the impact of this, that assessment is getting better in the schooling system, especially as we move across the school system. Foundation studies, we're now focusing on intermediate and senior studies. In the past, the focus was on equity. Now, we can focus on foundation and we can see that the improvements are there. We've seen from ANA, we've seen from terms and 12, that we've got a huge problem in the intermediate and senior. And that's where we're giving our attention. In 2011, we distributed 23 million grades R to 6 mathematical books to printed and delivered to 18,000 public schools. In 2012, schools were informed about the distribution of workbooks in an effort to improve the delivery process. We get proof of delivery so that we can confirm delivery. No one is paid. The service provider is not paid unless we have a signature from a principal or a designated official to say these books have been received and they have been certified. And based on those proof of delivery, which are checked by an external independent auditor, we may take. And based on those figures, we have 98.74% of grade R for 9.1 books for distribution per order, 97.25% of grade 1 to 9.2 books as per order, and 97.36% of FET schools, physical science, and mathematical production books. For grade 1 to 3 and grade 10, we've introduced the national catalog, and that's had a huge impact. In Limpopo alone, using this method and a procurement method that cut out a number of middle people, we slashed the LTSM budget tremendously. And the stationery prices. So then we brought down the price of books hugely and we then improved coverage. We're also able to now, with a limited number of titles, improve teacher education. In addition, following developments that we've implemented, we've got a framework for LTSM policy and business processes. So all provinces know the deadline and they follow a process in terms of the procurement. Got specifications for what the minimum provisions that the learner must receive by way of stationery and textbooks, and we call them a minimum school bag. We have a national catalogue for textbooks, we have a literacy and literacy guide. 2,000 schools were provided with library books, so it's an improvement there, but we still, it's an area of weakness in terms of library information. We published national guidelines for school library and information services. And national guidelines for school library information services implementation. In terms of e-education, we've got a number of initiatives here. I'm not going to go into all the details there. The Telcom agreement, we've got 9 provincial ICT resource centers provided with required infrastructure, and we've got a URL in terms of the digital classroom which was developed to connect the 9 centers. We work with a number of partners, Mindset, Intel, Microsoft, who've made their content available to support you. And this content is available to you. In terms of e-education, 3,942 educators were using and applying ICT classrooms, 22,000 educators attended ICT training programs, and 2,200 schools were connected to ICT. In terms of assessment, the first cycle of ANA was written in February 2011. following the finalization of this report, work will start improving the expenditure potential. Honorable members, in all countries, when you do something like this, your first effort is about getting the administrators, getting your assessment tools right. We went bigger than many other countries. In fact, not many countries go with the rest of it. I mean, they test all of them. We've done that. And by the time we got to the second year, we dealt with a lot of the administrative glitches. We've got much higher returns. We believe the instrument is much more credible. But that is just the administration. You don't introduce ENA for administration. You introduce it to use the data. So our focus already from the first year, more so in the second year, is on utilization of the data. We provided ENA exemplars. Teachers are beginning to understand, even parents are understanding, that to diagnose the problems in the school and the challenges in learning experience, they have a huge resource in ENA, and they're all using ENA to make a diagnosis, to know where the areas of weakness are, and importantly, therefore, what the interventions are. In terms of the NSC, honorable members, I won't go into details here. You know that there's been a progressive improvement in the pass rate and the quality of the pass as well. We've also had increases in the gateway subject. We've also had international benchmarking of the 2012 NSC question papers, which reveals that the standard of the question paper compared favorably to those of international quality. We have, in 2012, on the chapter we will speak about the climate of basic education, one of the big questions was the past requirement, where the debt has been reduced. We've answered that question. We've also asked experts to answer it, independent people like Kumar Nuthi, and they repeatedly confirmed that the requirements have not dropped at all. However, every meeting we go to, we get asked again. The honorable members are going to ask to answer it again. We will ask it again. Just to clarify so that everybody understands what we talk about. The minister has established a committee, a ministerial committee, which is looking into this matter as well, so that all our opinions can be considered. Only NSC, honorable chairperson, honorable members, we're very pleased with the fact that not only did we administer the exam over the years in a manner where it was done well with very limited problems and no significant leakages, we also produced reports. And those reports serve as a huge, valuable resource to diagnose children. Teachers use it, we use it, and it's a huge resource, which shows why you see the great crowd improvement happening. We want to introduce this cluster which we do with Anna in earlier grades as well. In terms of special needs, we coordinate the development of sign language, adapted our workbooks to Braille, got an inclusive education strategy, check orientation program for teachers, prioritizing implementation in 2012, and we've introduced a system for assessing disability in the education system, in the school system. The minister, as you know, even though this falls outside the period we're reporting on, has declared 2013 the year of inclusive education. So we do significant work there, and we welcome the opportunity to return to this committee to give more information on that. In terms of teacher development, there's been progress there as well in implementing the integrated strategic planning framework for teacher education. We've provided training programs to teachers. In terms of the GDE's activity, we've had a partnership with the union to implement teachers' work. However, again, let me emphasize this point. What you see on the screen is the activities of the GDE. The problem is in teacher development as well. And their activities amount to many more times for the GDE, just because of their scope, their budget, and the fact that they are 90. So it's important when we talk about teacher development to look at the system. However, we still have to focus on teacher development. That's a key area to deal with the challenges. We also have the National Teaching Award, which I hope all our members are aware of. It will be done on the 7th of March this year. Last day was very successful, and it's still very dedicated to the economic school process. In terms of teacher supply, we continue with our implementation of the Kunda Lushaka program. 76% of the 2010 graduates have been appointed, and of these, 82% are 30 years and younger in 10 years. This percentage is slightly higher than 2010, when the project 30 years ago. The number of qualified teachers is 30 and below are entering the public service. As you know, honorable members, we've had a problem of an aging profession. We say that we're managing to attract young people. The target of 8517 Kunda Lushaka bursaries for 2011-12 was exceeded by 216%. During the period under review, the department developed a post-provisioning model that will assist provinces and schools to generate staffing for schools. 65% of learners are in classes with no more than 45 learners, so we're getting better there in terms of overcrowding. School management, training of principals continues in terms of advanced certificates of education. A total of 8,407 schools were visited in the period that we're reporting by. This is a major, major increase in what used to be that. And thanks to the appointment of IQNF officials that we have, and we institutionalized the governance of schools, they've got clear and consistent instruments that they use in schools to gather information and to make the investments that they do. The QLTC was also established in more than 2,000 the NDB elections were successfully completed in March 2012. And our partnerships, we continue to invest in, although we need to strengthen that going forward. We have that record on basic education, which is a significant development. In terms of school funding, the request ended securing additional funding for implementing an amended funding program with the revised grade R policy framework was made to metro friendly and approved for the expansion of grade R between 2013-14 and 2014-15. Funding request was made to ensure PEDs are able to fund all non-school schools at the same level and also to look at equalization of expectations. And the amendments to the national norms extended for updating the national state of funding. Now again, Treasury is amenable, but the point is whether in provinces set patterns for the Ministry of Education. A vertical was placed in GCIS in terms of whereby parents to be automatically exempted from paying fees who qualify for social grants, etc. And this is made available in terms of publicizing the fees. For the 2011 academic year, 78% of learners in public schools were accommodated to more than 20,000 open schools. For 2012 academic year, the national target allocation, which caters for non-personnel and non-capital expenditure schools, was increased to 960 rand per learner for schools in quintile 1. And the monthly threshold applicable to quintile 2 and 3 was set at 880. We're trying to reduce that gap between quintile 1 on one end and quintile 2 and 3 on the other. In terms of school infrastructure, to address the capacity problems in provinces that have been current implementation, the National Department, the DBE, has made available 10 million rand per province for the employment of experts in those capacity, engineers, architects, and so on. Many provinces have taken this up to a good one. One or two outstanding, but we believe all of them will take it up and appoint the right people. The guidelines for planning school infrastructure and boarding was concluded. Standardized designs and a cost model was developed. Short-term technical assessment was done. And the EIG, the education infrastructure done at the end of March 2012, PED has spent 93% or 5.254 million. And we believe that in the end of this financial year as well, we'll have similar level of expense. There's been some progress in addressing the backlogs at the MUS schools in terms of the TV, but the challenges there were substantial in terms of implementing implementing agent. We have DBSA as the implementing agent there. Huge problems in terms of delays in particular contractors. The contract with two major contractors were terminated because of non-performance, and we then had to employ new contractors to take over that one. In terms of district development, I spoke about the quarterly engagement. We've got guidelines to ensure there's consistency in the way districts are staffed and structured. It expresses the national vision. And then in terms of the planning and delivery oversight unit, we supported 15 underperforming districts. DBE has received 37 court cases in the period under review and managed to resolve 22 of these. There's been a huge increase in litigation, in part because Section 100 was declared, and those people who felt that they don't really want to litigate the province saw the opportunity when there was Section 100 to litigate the DBE. So almost all, even historical issues that exist in provinces were brought for litigation now because of Section 100. A copy of that legislation was drafted. Committee will be aware of those, and the legal bill was also promulgated and presented for public comment. Pregnancy regulations have not been finalized and are subject to the amendments of staff. In terms of international relations, we've drafted bilateral agreements with the different republics of China. An agreement was reached with Japan. International Cooperation Agency for specialists in mathematics. Minister led a delegation to UNESCO for the 76th General Conference in Paris, and the drafting of an MOU around cooperation in the field of English language between the government of the Republic of South Africa and the government of the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland concluded. In terms of Caliguria Math Literacy Campaign, a total of 39,000 volunteer educators were employed. By the end of the financial year, 253 million was paid out to stipends. A total of 3,671 volunteer supervisors were appointed for short-term contracts. All volunteer educators received the necessary material, stationery, and administrative forms. A total of 2,822,642 workers were applied, 660,924 learners. The total number of learners involved, 95% of the learning sessions were performed. So there's a huge completion rate. In terms of learner well-being, 8.8 million learners in 21,000 primary and secondary schools are provided with nutritious meals every day. These meals are specified. You can't just provide anything. And on the whole, implementation is going well. There are problems when some provinces alter the conditions. There are problems with some procurement and contractors, but we deal with them, and we're dealing with them. Where we've implemented our decision to devolve to school, we found that there is a huge improvement in the efficacy, but also the quality of the provided in the school. 256,000 learners in Quintal 1 primary school underwent health screening, and we're doing this in partnership with the Department of Health. 102,000 LCSM on sexual and reproductive health in schools, 18,000 educators were trained, 235 schools participating in care and support for teaching and learning pilot programs. 9,700 public ordinary schools participating in school sports team, and 8,800 public ordinary schools in limited local food stations. Now, Honourable Chairperson, despite this, we've got new social problems. Sexual abuse, pregnancy, etc. Now, it's important to say in an unconditional manner that is a huge, huge challenge that we have to address and be addressed. But it's also important to make the point that we have introduced a number of incidents in the schools which we have. And clearly, there are other factors driving it. A lot of these factors exist outside. There are factors that are internal to the school, especially where teachers and household and principals and school management don't take action. And that we believe we must act on very, very strongly. The President will be joined by the Minister tomorrow to launch the Stop Rape campaign in the school. and we want all schools to convene assemblies, which are age appropriate depending on the school, to highlight these issues. But also to say, through the life orientation program, we do deal with this matter, we provide resource materials and so forth, and we need to highlight it. So it's a serious problem of national concern, and we really need to do something about it. Values in education training material, which tries to include the constitutional values, etc., was developed during this period. The CAT incorporates the Bill of Responsibility, and the department conducts comprehensive research and the visualized developing evidence-based social cohesion toolbox. In terms of the conditional grants, the Honourable Chairperson, we've got 5 conditional grants, which you see on the screen there. And if you read documents we've talked about, I'll take the DD in part 15. The part of the DD in part 15 is conditional grants. It's money that we send to the province. And the department also received an allocation for the micro grant, which is a CD of 700 million. The 4 conditional grants were transferred to provinces. The department ensured that all the requirements of GLORA are met. In terms of HIV/AIDS, then, advocacy, a total of 291,000 learners and educators and 452 parents and stakeholders were reached. Peer education, 13,000 learners were reached. Training and development, 2,700 educators were trained. Care and support, 6,400 educators and support staff trained. A total of 1.2 million people with LCSM distributed, and their monitoring and support, a total of 8,000 schools were reached. A late approval of gender specification to Northwest and Western Cape to conduct activities comes amongst the challenges. Furthermore, delayed payment of invoices is a problem, and utilization of the conditional grant for other purposes. Dealing with these matters, and we will resolve them to ensure that we stick to the position outside the door of the commission. The National School Nutrition Program was extended to put out 3 secondary schools from April 2011, increasing the number of secondary schools covered to 4,800. Vegetable gardens in schools were increased significantly to 7,156. A total of 53 workshops were conducted, and we've got important partnerships with the Life Society brand, etc. The General Aid Grant supplied math, physical science, life sciences, and cultural science for English textbooks, mobile science, math, teacher training, and math, physical science, audiovisual equipment, math kit. Challenges include late submission of monthly quarterly reports, and both expenses. In terms of the technical high school recap, 23 out of 43 new workshops were built, 198 out of 247 existing workshops were refurbished. Equipment, machinery, and tools were bought and delivered. 554 out of 538 technical teachers were trained. However, we have challenges, which include the delays in the development and approval of tender sites, irregular monitoring and collection of data, and late approval of business plans. The AIG, a total of 39,000 projects were completed, including 131 admission facilities, 721 new or additional classrooms, 49 specialized classrooms, 50 provided water, 120 mobile buildings, 33,000 students were sent to school. Our challenges include the following. The main one being insufficient capacity to deliver infrastructure. Lack of tracking and monitoring mechanisms. A large number of projects are at the retention stage, get stuck there, poor adoption of best practice approaches, and lack of capacity to maintain the school infrastructure. In terms of provincial budget monitoring then, which is something we introduced a few years ago, to ensure that spending and budgeting is credible, is still proving to be very useful. We have a budget standard exercise for the MTEF, we've undertaken with the 9 provinces. The focus was on the following: evaluation of 2011-12 spending performance, which includes conditional grants, funding of personnel expenditure versus non-personnel, and then the AG issues related to the AG. PD's monthly expenditure reports were collected, consolidated, and analyzed. We also provide financial management support to the team, and we have Code of Compliance and Basic Administrative and Financial Basics as a challenge in terms of compliance. In terms of challenges, we have few institutional policy compliance, coordination and management, budget pressures, especially related to competition and backlog. In terms of school infrastructure challenges, we've reported previously that to eliminate the bulk of the backlog, we need 66 billion. However, we have 20 billion that is needed for maintenance is a serious problem. The continuing state of school infrastructure backlog is one of the serious shortcomings of the system, and we've reported on what is required going forward. In terms of the infrastructure, there's been a lot of work done through the PICT, and the challenges that are encountered in education and health across government have been identified very clearly and solutions formulated for them. We believe that a lot of these challenges have now found some mechanism to remediate them, and we believe that it certainly will improve in terms of the annual financial statements, then, as the chairperson was the last part of the report, total allocations are 14 billion, actual expenditure 12 billion, deviation 1.1%, and 1.6. The annual expenditure today is largely related to the infrastructure backlog. Program 4 spending targets for economic classification, you'll see there that in terms of our compensation of employees, all of those goods and services we do well, promises and facilities transfers we do well, payments for capital building and so forth, total of 91.6%, we do well except for machinery and equipment, which is a very small amount of deviation of 2,400 cash. In terms of admin, 6 million unspent and as a result of saving in office equipment due to inflation fluctuation. Small amount in terms of the overall budget. In terms of curriculum policy and support, expenditure is mainly due to Karagure. We had a problem with the procurement there because the ATA made certain questions about the way in which procurement was happening. We had to fix that first and then to teachers and human resources, 43 million. This is mainly because of the resignation of external moderators in terms of the ICMS, and then the training of educators through our partnership with teacher unions was delayed. Submission to a new concept that and this is part of the team process. In terms of planning, quality assessment and monitoring, this is where the bulk of it is. Needle evaluators were appointed during the latter part of the year, under expenditure in terms of the systemic evaluation project due to the introduction of ANA. Final transfer of the education infrastructure down to the Eastern Cape because of underspending caused the problem, and then the infrastructure backlog grant. No spending performance is all of the contribution to this administration. This is our major concern, and we've done a lot of work to address this question area of under expenditure. You see the challenges here, as I've indicated, the performance of implementing agents, performance of contractors, performance of contractors, the fact that they underestimated the claim. In some instances, they went from school to their site, a road to their site, they're there to be constructed. All of these things contribute to the delay, which we are addressing now. With tighter control in terms of damaging contractors. We terminated the services of some contractors, which caused delay, but I think it sent a clear message to the sector. We've identified risks and how we mitigate them in terms of delivering. For infrastructure, you can see Honourable Chairperson, which I'm not going to go into in so far, but Honourable members will be able to see here that this is how we try to solve the problem that has contributed to the delays of the expenditure in the the emphasis of matter, and the first one is unavoidable, is the legal claim emanating from legal action brought against us. We have a lawsuit, we believe in the Windows case. The moment you have a case that's not final, the AG puts it down as an attorney. I indicated about Kali Gude that the matter, which was a whole matter related to the procurement of the managing agent, not the DD, the managing agent, didn't follow what the AG said on the court procedure. We picked that up, became a matter, and then materially understated, which was the cost of fund. So those were the three things, all of which we believe can be solved. The Kali Gude one, the previous orders didn't present a problem, so it came as a new issue. The legal matters is something which we did not just use court, and the understanding we've got to strategy to deal with it. By way of conclusion, then, on the chairperson, the strategic interventions for 2011-12 will be consolidated in the coming financial year. We're working with the local department, and our focus is on learning our problems. Include implementation of CAP, consolidation of workbook, enhancing teacher development and accountability, utilization of NR results to ensure that we improve quality. Honorable Chairperson, I said an hour, I have 5 minutes to spare. My mother used to tell me I talk too much when the time was small. I thought I welcome opportunities to talk, but today I'm very tired. I'm heavily medicated, so I'm incoherent, I apologize. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ethan. And thank you for the question. Although I was married when I lived at the present time, then you speak faster than me. It's a very man. Yeah, this is before I allow the student to exit the report. I just want to speak to something, or maybe for the test. This is my personal observation. From education side, 18 years into the market, do we really, maybe today, I think it's something that we have answered. If you check what is happening, the movement, you know, instead of having learners from their pre-advanced in school moving to the township, we see this movement from township to town. What does that say? Does it say we don't do enough in the previously advanced community? Because I'm trying to think of any school that I can say within 8 years with this delegate that has this department of as this government that we are saying we have this model where we'll see our learners now not for college, because really you can't compromise when it comes to the issue of education. That is how we see learners moving to every gender. That is how we see parents taking their learners there. When are we going to see, even if we can do one school, that parents and learners will be happy and say, we've got everything, the resources of what other schools are having in town. You know, 8 years, I think this is one thing that really I want you to, when you respond to some of the questions, can you tell us, when are we going to see that and say, within this 8 years, this is what we are getting. The issue of social proof has been indicated. This is a reality, this is what is happening. But maybe when you respond to this case, because you are saying there are interventions, but one doesn't really get to, or maybe because of the time, but what are the interventions? Because this is a reality, you know, this is the challenge that you are facing. I want to mention one school. There's one group in my area in Glasgow. I'm not going to mention the name. When we talk about the issue of social programs, literally parents will tell you that when they go, when you take your child to that school, the principal will tell you,
different picture from the picture that we see in general. And that put us in an extreme awkward position because we don't come here raise things with you, things that you would say, make this one a thumbs up. So I just wanted to check with you that one. And then the last one, Chen, like I said, it's not in this report, but I know I thought that the minister will hear the political aid, the issue of declaring an education an essential service. I thought that at some point we need to be abreast, because sometimes you go in the street, people ask you about it. What is it? What is the intention? How do you get it from the office now? Why do we want to move that? Because we want to support it and we like it. But what is the issue that makes us to think that we need to push the education to the extreme in our situation or our future? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan Shepard. Which is for arriving late. Now, that is because I'm coming from Gauteng. By congratulating Gauteng Department for achieving outstanding results for the second year succession and building that one, that was me, and admitting Western Cape twice. Okay, on a very serious note, I just want to find out, I saw the Haribode one, but the question was, I think, people with disabilities, I'm sure. I just want to find out, is the program still going on, because we have constituencies where the problems of literacy and numeracy. So if my constituency want to help those communities, what constituency can one follow? Or, and then the second one is on the poor performance one. What can be the reasons that makes regression? I'll talk about Gauteng. I was in the court law again, and the MEC was talking about 51 schools now under performance schools, and I think around about 2010-9 they had dropped down. Now it's going up. If it's Gauteng is 51, I'm not sure in other provinces. So what can be the reason in terms of the increase now? The other one is on the pace on the infrastructure. The backlog. For instance, when one looks at the Eastern Cape, I think the target was somewhere in 200. And I think only 10 schools or so, or less, have been built. And also the target, I think it was that 200 might have been finished by 2012 or so. And up to now, it's just a minute progress. Then it will be maybe Eastern Cape and KZN. I mean, we have been to KZN on for taking permanent to the people. And we have witnessed the appreciation program where teachers and learners look at the fields, open fields. There are no... What's my shirt? There's no push to hide themselves. And when learners have to... When a school is to get water, it has to send learners 10 kilometers from the school, uphill or down. So, other than the question of the contractors, what more can be done? Because people outside there, they want to deliver. And the money is there, but it's
suburb of spending or spending correctly. The other one, I saw the question of the tool on the implementation of the white paper 6. And when I was still at school and started doing workshopping teachers about white paper 6, when are you envisaging to implement it? Because you have a tool, but I don't see the target. The other one is there's a case that happened in Gauteng. A school, SGB, took an embassy to court in relation to their admission in schools. Gauteng, there is a regulation that says a school cannot declare it as full, it should be the district. But then that learned or whatever people that don't want to accommodate other learners or other nations, then they took the ticket to court. What is it? Do we have to do a law here so that it also covers, because it may not only be Gauteng. There might be other provinces where learners are bad, because people are claiming that no, you can't be here, and find that in those schools they are under stress. We've visited most of the schools, the white schools and African schools, when I was in such, they're highly under stress. So do we have to put a law to open those that are the problem or what? The other one is on the support material. They're giving us stickers that you have delivered. We acknowledge that and we thank you for that. But have you looked into the intake or the view on the sexual and production material? When we were at the KZN, if not Northern Cape, where many parents are talking about what is it that the department is doing with the pregnancy, on the pregnancy of learners. And the embassy said that you should be asking yourselves, what is it that you are doing? Because when we bring in the sexual education, we supply condoms, you complain and say you are teaching our children sex. So is there any value for money for this material and money spent on this? Has it been used or not? And then lastly, on the technical high schools, it may be a question of semantics. In Gauteng, after the Dilanga report, there was a building of comprehensive schools and technical high schools. But the focus on the recaps is only on technical high. And the practice around about 2007 was that the teachers that were deployed to teach in the comprehensive schools with the technical skills and whatever, they were not deployed in the primary schools and whatever. Buildings are there with all those materials, but now the white elephants.
Thank you.
budget year. Then my question is, what system was it to implement and use by the provincial parliament? And the reason why I'm putting that question is last year, a lot of flag did go into the press relating to the Department of Education, and that was not good for us, for our system, the education system, such as the books, the textbooks. Was they, or were they in the work in the stores? But it was wrongly due to the wrong language or the wrong number, the total of the textbooks and so on. And that is the reason why I'm asking that question. Now, the other one, we visited a month or two ago, two provinces, the last one was Malanda. At the school there, a very nice accommodation for a library and for a lab was without furniture. I do understand that you have a program and a report here about that situation, but why can we build one library at a school without the necessary equipment, the tables and the books and so on, and also a lab with other necessary learner support materials in that situation. Now, the principal was telling us that he must take the learner 60 or 80 kilometers from the school just to have that education, especially in the science department. And that is my question. Why building infrastructure without the necessary LTA? Then the other one, Honorable Chairperson, is connection with the subject advisors. That is the slide 14. A lot of subject advisors are available to the school. Now, what exactly is the responsibility of those subject advisors to the different schools where they are appointed to assist? And do you as the Department of Basic Education, maybe from the side of the province, or the National Education Department, monitor the progress and what they actually are doing at the school? To whom do they report on the progress of what they actually doing at the school, and what is the progress of the quality of education at those different schools? Then the other one, Honourable Chairperson, is in connection with ICT at schools. Only so many schools do have the benefit on the ICT program. But the information here is not how many primary schools, how many senior secondary schools. Maybe it is in the other document, this one, the bigger one. And where, in which province? How many primary schools in this province? How many secondary schools in that province? And the other one, we do have, and certainly in the other provinces also, but in the Western Cape, it's a problem around the twin tiles and the system used to twin tile the school. In my area, Central Karoo, there's a school. It is situated in the previous white area. But 90% of those learners now come from the poorer area. And that quintile of the school is wrong due to the total of learners at that school. I already take it up with the problem. question is, what is the progress? Is there any information, new information in that? If not, what other information can you provide us? The two last questions on the chairperson is in connection with the sports team. Again, in Mpumalanga, and I believe also in the other provinces, yes, in the Western Cape also. The previous disadvantaged schools, nothing happened on the ground to provide those schools with the necessary sports team, so that they can also benefit as the previous model teachers. I don't have to tell you about the model teachers, but in my area, those schools, there's no development. It is the same as before 1994. And can you just tell us this morning what is the plan and progress, whatever they want to say, just to redress that situation? And the last one on the chairperson is, I think, 5%, if I'm not wrong, underspent or overspent. I'm not sure now. 5 or 1%. Where the department is actually allowed to understand 5%. Now this department is 5%, isn't it? 5%. The unspent are much more than that. Now, what exactly is the problem? Is the problem that this department, and I believe in it, this is a very good department, and they have good officials to spend the money, but don't they understand? Tell me why. What is exactly the problem? Is it 100%? Is it what? What? Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. My first question, Honourable Chair, will be, there are reports that say some school in the Mpopo province did not get to visit. Can the department explain what is going on? My second question, Honourable Chair, Gigi, in your view, where are the intervention in Mpopo and Eastern Cape going to end? In other words, what are the deadlines? My third question, Eastern Cape has had the AMA inspection even after the MP intervention. Does the department have a turnaround strategy for the problem? Other question, Honourable Chairperson, Mpopo has progressed after the MP intervention. Does this mean that the intervention is not needed? What the plan that the department has for the problem? And the last one, Honourable Chairperson, I was happy about my problems where I'm coming from in the first place, because I can see that the progress, because the business was unsatisfactory.
thank you, Honourable Shoshu. It's okay. This is an observation. I just want to say where Honourable Shoshu is here. You know, the issue of, we talk about math and science. But the issue, most of the cases that Honourable you go to school to find a building, but this without the necessary. Are we serious? Really, if we are talking about that, we need to improve math and physical science in our country. Maybe if we can clarify that, because we have been talking about this, we are dealing with the annual report of 2011 to 2012. But this is still the challenge, and as you also have acknowledged that there is a problem of library and our information system. But this thing has been going on. Is there any commitment from the department to do this? We are seriously want to deal with the issue of medical science. The other thing around that, Gigi, you indicated that in Mpopo and Eastern Cape, the department has given financial support to the institution. But the both the products or services, can you explain why? You also talked about the issue, you talked to litigation. Can we have exact numbers of the litigation? And also, how many cases of litigation that the department has successfully sent, and how many have lost, and at what time? Last year, before the end of the year, when the department presented before the select committee around the congress on eradication of mastiff in the eastern coast, by then we had where the department was reporting that 10 schools have been completed. We have seen towards the end of the year where the president was sent over. I want to know, from that 49, because it was your initial ticket, how many have been completed so far? And also around the issue of the budget, there was a budget. Because if you have a budget for 2011, 2012, and you didn't have a potential target, obviously it means that the budget was not fully used. And there was also an adjustment. If we can just let get clarity on that, if you can just maybe as if you can just get clarity on actually what is happening around that, is there progress on the issue of eradication of fast food, is there particularly in the eastern case, or what is happening? According to the annual report, because like you indicated that, I think which is one of the issues that we have to consider, that calling the provincial department so that we can be accountable. There is this, around the nature HOD, we are still, according to the report, there's still, you know, the vacancies of the HOD is about 10%. 10%, how do you ask of what are the challenges for schools not to feel this nature of pain.
Thank you very much, Honourable Shepherd, for your hands on the news. I'm going to answer the questions in the order that they were asked, and I will hand time to my colleagues to deal with those areas. Firstly, starting with your questions, Honourable Shepherd, about the time period and why is it that we have this movement of learners from township schools into town, and when are we going to find that policy and provision in township schools matches? Indeed, that has been a challenge from the beginning, where the parents were looking at performance, looking at resources. We're finding though that the biggest movement is within schools, where parents move their children between schools that have exactly the same surroundings or same place. And that's purely because of politics. One school, the principal, actors, and leading, other school not, and parents move their children. So the movement is clearly a policy. The other thing on which Chairperson, we did some very interesting work in the Department of Education. We looked at where is a poor African child best prepared. In other words, what chances are optimal for a poor African child? Which kind of school? And we then looked at schools that are the former model teach schools and so forth, and we looked at schools that are above 80% African learners or above 90 or 100%. And we found that there are 500 schools in the country which are performing the best, and poor African child is better off being in that school than any other school. And of those schools, 184, the majority are in the best school, where children are performing well. So we've got huge problems in the state, but we've seen progress over the 18 years on the chapter. The schools that are in townships and in rural areas,
schools that have historically been African in terms of teacher enrollment in them that are now almost 100% African enrollment. I'm not talking about schools which were former model change and now it's got 100% African. I'm talking about schools that are historically African. These schools are there spread across the country, the majority of which are African. So there is movement, and you see it, you can see these schools in those schools. The top performer in the country in grade 12, who came from Tampopo, came from a school with one of the studies in solitary survival. And she performed with distinction in the school. In terms of our NSC results and ANA, we look at performance by school. And there are a number of schools with one of the studies of township performing with advantage where they're producing distinction. Unprecedented historically. So there is movement, but the bottom line, as you say, that movement is not sufficient. We've got to fix that. And it's clear for us that resources is a factor, but the bigger factor is management and leadership differential. We see now we've got examples in townships where school is completely different. A stakeholder organization, like political organizations, trade unions, and so forth, have decided we want to claim back the school. And the performance of that school has changed in a short space of time. So clearly we've got to get resourcing right, we've got to get management and leadership right, we've got to get parental involvement right. Because learner attendance, teacher attendance, all of those things are very often a subject of whether management and leadership in the school, the holding people accountable, learners and teachers, and parental involvement, the holding people accountable. So, Honourable Chairperson, I know that I've answered your question. It's a big question. I've tried to be as brief as possible by acknowledging that there are these challenges and it's moving too slow, but also to say there's been huge development in these areas. In terms of the social problems and what are the interventions, I mean, the outcomes will develop to respond to that. In terms of Honourable Pike and admission facilities, this is a huge problem, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Pike. And we've done repeated assessments of schools where the admission facilities are there. And it's an area that's been neglected. We're doing two things now. One is what we've promulgated is to say that no new school, no new development, even a refurbishment, can happen without dealing with the admission facilities, even where you don't have running water. Incidentally, we've got very good technology now that can cater for areas that don't have running water. There's a school that the president opened on the territory, referring to where we introduced a admission facility solution without running water. And you must go into that school and into that toilet. It's a dry system, but there's absolutely no smell in the toilet whatsoever, compared to like certain things that you have, you know. The toilets are really nice and dignified. So for all new schools, that's what we do. The second thing we're doing is to say, wherever these problems exist, like the honorable member described, where teachers don't have facilities, learners don't have facilities. We're identifying those, we say to provinces, solve it. If you don't solve it, we're going to solve it for you. So we prioritize it. We're even going to move money that's supposed to go to the province for infrastructure to deal with the challenges. We're accelerating that in the proper. We're busy now with a rollout where we're targeting sanitation and partnering with the IT teachers. Honourable members, very right, the big challenge. We certainly recognize it and we're trying to deal with it. In terms of the audit outcome, that we've got the regression, what's the mitigation? Yes, indeed, we have identified over the last 2 years audit outcomes as a key measurement across provinces. So when we monitor provinces, we monitor the audit opinion and the emphasis of matter that the Auditor General has. We've got a team from the DBE that visit each and every province, have a discussion with the CFO and related people on the agent reports, and then look at the turnaround plan and monitor the turnaround plan. So that's what we do by way of support. I'll come back to the question that the Honourable Chair raised in terms of other Honourable Members raised in terms of the agent reports. In terms of absenteeism from schools and the millions and so forth, let me just say to honourable members that what the minister was quoting was
findings from a second study in the South African Quality Assessment Study compared to the country. And in that study, they found that on average, the teachers in the sample stayed away for 19 days. So at that media conference, the journalist was very keen to ask us how many teachers are there. So what the teachers, that journalist did was took 19 and multiplied it by the number of teachers. He said we are losing 7.9 million days, which is not a wrong calculation. But it's 7.9 million, and I tried to do it quickly on my phone now, to look at the total number of days multiplied by 420. My phone can't cope with the figure. Yeah, it's like billion. So 7.9 billion is D, but a day, it's person day, of 420,000, of almost half a million people. In fact, the journalists could have been more dramatic and speak about hours lost, person hours lost. It's gone into more million. So it's like sensationalizing deliberately a statistic to make something look worse than it. It's a trick we all use. You know, when I make presentations at university and presenting graphs, you create the excess of the graph such that it makes what you're trying to say look better. So you make it long, you know, instead of just doing accurate measures. It's like criminal. it's not criminal in like, they can sort of defend it, but it's mischievous, criminal in that it's mischievous. Because the public don't understand what I'm explaining now. So the public says 7.9 million in today's paper. The minister I saw this morning, I didn't spoke to the minister. I saw she really tried to explain. I would speak to her now. But that was the journalist thinking. And I was there when he kept asking the number. And he really wanted to know the number of people. Because it was really a big calculation. But you can see what's the intention of the article. The intention is to mischievously paint something in a bad light and put it. Knowing that the public won't understand this thing the way they say. What the report said was on average we lose 19 days. You know, and that is a problem. And the minister said it's a problem. But you can present figures like 7.9 million, it makes it look really dramatic. So that's the explanation for that one. The education and essential service, honorable members, honorable chairperson, this is a matter that at a political level. Officials we've not got involved in. So the president is the leadership of the ruling party and statesperson is president of the country, so he's busy with that in terms of cabinet. My minister is political principal in the leadership and they're dealing with that matter accordingly. All I can speak about is how they've explained it. And what the president said in the State of the Nation address was that essential services is not about the right to strike and removing their right to strike. What they're saying is that essentially that we must all recognize the importance of this, that it's essential to the country's development. And therefore we must treat it accordingly, and that imposes certain obligations on civil servants, on political office bearers, on unions, on learners, on parents, etc. And it's calling for a dramatic mobilization of conscience and commitment to make sure that that happens. So that, as an official, this is what I've heard the president say. This is what I hear the president say. But it's not in our realm of work. We've not yet been in the in terms of, honorable member, Newman, in terms of Kaliguri, honorable member, if you just, we carry on. Is it still going on your question? Yes. Going on, we just, now we got money for the extension. We're going out on tender and so forth to get the money agency. And manage the administration, and it's carrying on. In terms of rolling it out to additional areas, please provide us with details, or we can give you the contact details of the CEO of Kaliguri, Dr. Ramarumo, and she'll explore you know, how that option can be pursued, and definitely going on. In terms of the regression of 51 schools in Gauteng, I'm not sure exactly which statistic the NSP was referring to here, but from our assessment, there isn't a regression, especially in a province like Gauteng. I suspect what the NSP is talking about is that before we only used NSP results to check the problem. Now she's got ANA. So if you use ANA, it may increase the number of Right, but it's because we've got more data. So we're using other now even 2 to 7. So it could be there, but it just shows the power of ANA. Then, continuing with Honourable Member's point, in terms of space of infrastructure, very low, what more can be done? Again, Honourable Member, in the interest of time, I didn't provide details, but clearly with the PICC, with the capacity we're putting in place, with the lessons we've learned, the pace we believe will increase dramatically. We're seeing it already. Honourable Member spoke about KZN. KZN, Honourable Members, for this financial year, so I don't even know if I should be saying it yet, because officials sometimes we manage things in particular ways.
Yeah.
But KZN on paper has got all the expenditure in it because of what, how well they do it. But what we do is the expenditure, the projects of this year we pay for from next year, but you're allowed to do that. I must say one more before you report. You're allowed to do that. So that you don't have this delay in terms of infrastructure. So KZN, free state, there was a third one. KZN, free state, the third one, where their rollout from Aranda, their rollout is really on track. And we encourage them to bring projects of the next year into this year. So we don't have that period. So we manage that process, they won't be overextended there. But I'm going to give you an example of how some provinces have been through. Eastern Cape, no. And the fourth one, no. So we're working hard with those provinces to pick up the challenges there. Eastern Cape, we found, for example, that in the province, there's this long chain, supply chain. There was the department, there was the PMU, there was Public Works, there was KUKA, there was another PMU, there was a contractor. It was too long a chain. KZN is cutting that out, we're cutting that out, so we believe that will improve services. But again, it's a challenge. The tool for what basis things, we are implementing a tool now to assess disability. We're spending features on that one, and we've been doing to help quite a bit. Mr. Ndebele may comment on that first. In terms of the Rivonia case, the Gauteng matter, about whether the school is cool or not, the MEC for Gauteng, electricity, has been joined by all other provinces and the minister to say that we support you taking this matter to the constitution. Because that ruling of the Supreme Court of the field must be challenged. Because basically what it's saying is the following, that will make it difficult for government. Mm-hmm. In Gauteng, it's got in-migration. Mm-hmm. And you don't know in Gauteng. You never know how many learners you're going to have in that year. Mm-hmm. Because they just come. Now, the argument that Rivonia is saying is that you must build a new school. But that learner is stepping without the school. In terms of the constitution and NEPA, you must provide a place for that child. That child can't wait until you build a school. Mm-hmm. And it's one child. Mm-hmm. One child can't cause a school to be overwhelmed. It can't happen. So we're saying we've got to reconcile all these rights. Clearly, it's unreasonable to expect a school to just take double the enrollment. It's unreasonable. But we've got schools that are bursting at the seams to Gauteng because of the Gauteng phenomenon. And Gauteng is building schools at the rapid rate. But clearly, Gauteng can build schools at the rate of demographic shift, which is not Gauteng's problem. So the Constitution will have to recognize that. We've got that problem in KZN and in Western Cape as well. But Gauteng, as you've seen from the census, is a huge problem. So that matter, as DDP, as the minister, she's supporting very much the matter goes to the Court and give Honourable Member, one doesn't rush into amending legislation. But clearly the legislation is the stumbling block. Then we look at on a regular basis. So that definitely will happen. Mr. Ndebele will answer the question about value for money and the impact of the LCSM sexual and reproductive health. In terms of recap, technical schools and so forth there, some provinces have been quite slow in the recap, but I think again here we must deal with it on a case by case. So I ask Honourable Member to give me the details. We look into these matters and address it in terms of the comprehensive school, technical school, the places where facilities are left. In terms of Honourable Member de Villiers, the budget report and the quarterly meeting, yes, it's in process. We do that. What system do we use to implement? In terms of the budget review, as I said, we meet the province, we send the team to meet the province question. We meet the CFO, we report to EDCOM, so we deal with that matter in very
terms of the ministers meeting with the districts, we deal with a specific implementation SF meeting, but importantly, we ask each district to report on what we agreed with the people. We verify what they say to us, and we then support the implementation. So clearly, these are new mechanisms which we've introduced because we recognize implementation is blocked, and we believe in statistics in improving implementation. And honourable members are right that the unfortunate experience in Limpopo, which really shouldn't have happened at all, showed up our weakness in terms of monitoring and implementing in good time immediately. That was the big issue in Limpopo. Mpumalanga Library and honourable chair also raised this issue in labs without furniture. This is a big issue that we ourselves have recognized. Now we've got a ruling that any new school that's built from the planning stage must cater for furniture, equipment, library facilities. You can't have a lab as in a building, but no equipment. So that's our policy now. That's going forward. Going backwards is saying where it exists, we must use infrastructure money or whatever money to make sure it happens. The minister is now directed, and we're doing a major program on furniture, to say to provinces, provide furniture. If you don't, we will take your money and provide the furniture. So that's the directive she's given. Subject advisors, what is their responsibility? The DG monitor progress and so forth. Again, honorable members put his finger on a weakness in the system. We haven't been monitoring subject advisors. Responsibility of the testing. We recognize that weakness, and now we are going and we're monitoring districts, we're monitoring what they do, and we're monitoring the support given to schools. What is the support given? What's the quality? What's the impact? How do teachers fund this? So it's been a weakness, and that's what we do. ICT in schools, I don't think we have figures according to primary and secondary provinces. I'll ask Ms. Duda to look into that issue. If we don't have it here, honorable member, we will provide it to you. The quintile system has been a historic problem. In terms of the quintiles, this has been a problem that's been nagging us for years since the quintile system. We're now solving it as follows. We say we want to have two types of schools, fee paying and non fee paying. Remember, we said quintiles 1, 2, and 3 are all local schools, and we're collapsing those programs. The only stumbling block to collapsing them is budget control. As soon as they get the budget, we collapse all the schools. Then we say to quintile 4 and 5, you've got an option like a school honorable member, the village from a school you want to go. They can choose to become a no-fee school. Accept it, and they get exactly what the quintile 1 or quintile 2 is. Solve the problem. So we don't have this thing about every or private criteria, where is the school, etc. It's solved like that. But the school then can't charge fee. The school can't charge fee. Oh, the no-fee school, so it can't charge fee. What we don't want is formal model fee schools to have their cake and eat it. Get no fee and then also charge fees, etc. You can't. So if you want to be no fee, you are no fee. But then you survive like those quintile 1 schools survive. Because you think you want to be quintile 1, so you are quintile 1. So that will solve the problem. We believe that that is process. Sports field, again there, because we've been prioritizing evolution, classrooms, you know, broken books and so forth, we haven't made significant progress in sports. That's true. Going forward, we said that every new school, where it's practicable in terms of the land, we say in a high density area, we're working with local government to make sure that at least there's a shared school. Existing schools where there's space, we're looking at sports. So again, we're rolling that out. But to make the point that yes, it's been an area that's been neglected over a long period of time, because we were focused on other powers. The matter now, because of our sports policy that we're focusing on, and going forward, certainly, we're making available. Like the body, we got this lovely school built there, and we wanted to put in a sports field. It's a healing area and so forth. And we just couldn't find a space.
for this one. So in time, we'll have to look at how we cater. In terms of understanding, the honourable member asked why our understanding is not with the DBE votes, it's with conditional grants. And the major culprit has been the DBE that's causing the problem of understanding and infrastructure generally. We're fixing up EIG, a CDR indicator of what we're doing, and clearly the interventions we're introducing are doing for the benefit of the public. But that has been the major problem to answer the honourable member's question. Why? What is going to be the problem? Honourable Member Shirley, I hope I'm pronouncing the surname correctly, my apologies, Honourable Member, if I'm not. The Honourable Member said there's a school that did not get healthier health. We supply books according to the data given to us by the province and the school, which we first supplied. We then checked POD, and according to POD, we delivered according to all those books. But what we said is, yes, schools sometimes two things happen. They get learners in the next year which they didn't know they were going to have in the previous year. Because remember, we use the previous year data because we distribute in the previous year. So some schools get a whole new class, then they'll have shortages. So they must report those shortages to us. That's the important thing. The second problem that happens is schools expect books that they used to get. But now we make sure that you get books that you need. And we've reduced it to like one type of. So sometimes schools think they have shortages when in fact, according to the policy, they don't have shortages. But what we say, Honourable Chairman, Honourable Members, is that we don't believe we want to debate with a school or whatever whether there is a shortage. We say simply tell us, if you have a shortage, you will fill up. So that is why we put excess books in the warehouse. The newspaper is making a big noise about excess books. It's there for a reason, so we can mitigate shortages. When will the intervention end? On the schedule, remember, I can't ask you. I just don't have the power at all. I can save off the records. It's possible to do that in this position. I never wanted an intervention. I wish the intervention could end. As a DG, it just happened to be one more night I went to sleep, the next morning I got up, and they were praying to them. So I don't know when it will end. The instant case, the statement given after the intervention, yes. Honourable Chairperson, if you look at the nature of the reasons why you have a disclaimer, very often those are deep-seated problems. For example, it will be access management, it will be need management. These are things, it will be headcount. These are things you can't solve in the year. So what we've done is we've actually now provided the services of a service provider to go into Eastern Cape, we're doing the same in the Pobo, to deal with these backlogs. Now, for example, until you get your SMS at the right, the agent is never going to give you an unqualified order. Forget it. And that takes a long time. Deep records. If you don't get deep records right, you're not going to get unqualified order. So we're working hard to fix this up to answer the honourable member. And then, so I said, you know, the Pobo regression Eastern Cape is about that. Honourable Member spoke about progress in the Free State. She's from the Free State in terms of the audit opinion. I want to add to her accolades to say, in terms of academic achievement in ANA and NSP, Free State is a problem to watch. I mean, they've made the most amazing progress. Free State is really up there. The Honourable Member should be very proud. Honourable Chairperson, you followed up then, medicine, science and resources. I've indicated that clearly this is what was being done in progress. And we're trying to pick that up to make sure that, even in fact last night the Minister was telling us, where schools don't have science teaching facilities, provide science kits now, because it makes a difference. And we're working on that. I've answered a question about disclaimer. Litigation, I'm going to ask Mr. Skuman to answer that question. Honourable Member, you've answered the question about the CD there. How many are completed? I'm going to ask Ms. Nuga Delivery to give us the most latest information on that one when she responds in terms of the progress of the education of the art school. And then HOD is the 10% vacancy rate. Honourable Member, Honourable Chair, we've got two problems there. One is, yes, a delay in terms of efficiency, administrative efficiency. Advertising is the other problem is in terms of PPM and moving access educators and holding a lot of temporary educators. What provinces have
done sometimes deliberately not for issue because so that they can save money. So remember, they carry double bus teachers, and it's a drain on their family. So sometimes the not filling of emotions also but it has a negative impression too. So we believe we must deal with that, but we must deal with the cause of the problem, which is excess education. So I'm going to chairperson, with your permission then, if you could allow us to transfer to the other colleagues who can answer in the audience of the city, we start with Mr. Thank you.
In terms of the 49 schools in the Eastern Cape, which were reopened in terms of the city, 35 schools which have been handed over by the end of March 2013, 16 of which have just been handed over to the department. And between now and the end of March, 5 will be completed. By the end of March. The remaining 9 will be delivered in April 2013, mainly due to contractual problems with the contractor. Some of the contractors went into bankruptcy, others couldn't deliver in the way that we want them to, but we are assured in terms of our oversight and monitoring that those 9 are in the state that will be delivered just after the end of the financial year. So that's the two for 35, the 5 which will be completed by the end of March, plus the 9 which will be delivered in April. 35 will be handed over by the end of March. 16 have just been handed over of those 35. 5 will be completed at the end of March, and 9 at the end of April.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, you raised the issue around social ills, and you made specific, you made an example around leadership. Just firstly, to agree with you that the problem is improving or is rising to, and that. You know, part of the issue is that we've got internal and external factors in relation to social ills. And external factors relate to the face of the community itself, because the schools more or less reflect the problems that are in communities. But also there are internal factors. We have a lot of programs for the safe school program that assist schools with being prepared so that they have safety plans, they have codes of conduct, they have emergency plans, they've got access controls. And there's a lot of regulations that assist schools with helping people. The problem is the one that the Honorable Chairperson has identified. It's leadership, it's implementation, it's compliance with what needs to be done. Where we've seen a reduction in incidents is where principals have followed through in relation to the recommendation. The second biggest gap is conversation with the parents' community and the SGB. Because if the parents knew what the policies were and what the principles were supposed to be, they wouldn't be that situation. We have a lot of programs around gender-based violence, which we do in partnership with organizations that do on a daily basis, whether it's Love Life, Soul Safety, Lifeline, etc. And those communities, those organizations assist us in working with young people so that they make good choices and responsible choices. And they're beginning to bear fruit. And I think the question around the value add for materials, if there is value add in relation to the learner, because we see that more and more, if you provide young people with information, so that they make responsible choices, and they know the consequences of making irresponsible choices. It helps. But as I said, what we haven't done very well is having the same kind of dedication in conversation with parents. Because honorable members will know that when we talk about sexual and reproductive health in particular, it is a sensitive matter. Because, you know, there are moral issues, that there are values that parents want to have for the remaining people. And so in the integrated school health program, the requirement is that before the package is delivered in school, there should be conversation with parents and SGPs, so that we start the conversation about what needs to be done to deal with the issues of too much stress. But the reality that we can't run away from is that young people are engaging with sex at a younger and younger age. So we can't really bury our heads in the sand and pretend it's not happening. But what would be the best way of doing this? What is respecting the role of the school in providing learning and teaching and the teaching as a community? And in fact, the province of KwaZulu-Natal has been the first that has taken that challenge head on, which is why the conversations are happening. The honorable members will know that the Catholic minister was saying that is not going to be implemented in school, but it doesn't mean the totality of the program. It means maybe the distribution of condoms, but other things. So, honorable member, we would appreciate the honorable chairperson an opportunity to speak in detail about the different programs that is the social aid. Do they safety, do they social and reproductive health? Because that will provide us an opportunity to give the details. DJ responded. Another initiative which is very good is the partnership with SEP, where we link in schools with police commissioners. It's not just a typical linking. What it comes with is the setting up of safety committees, that in the conversation, but it also allows schools to have a direct line with the police station should there be any incidents that are happening in the school. I think I've responded to all of my questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the litigation matters, just to say to the members, the cases that were quoted on page 45 and 46 is actually but a drop in the bucket of what is received in the provinces. That's where the bulk of the litigation is. Now, why we put these in the annual report is this is where the minister and the DG is normally cited as second, third, or fourth responders. There's a couple of cases that is against the minister. Very few. I think in some instances, some of the cases have also been resolved since this book was printed. You can give an update on that. The two big cases that we had last year where the department was heavily involved was against New Generations Publishers, that the department then won. And I think the chair and the members will remember the case against Edu Solutions in Limpopo that the department also won. Just to say what we're doing to assist provinces to actually try to resolve this matter. We created a database, first of all, where we as the national department, I think for the first time know exactly how many cases are there per province. We also then visit the province on a quarterly basis to then try to assist as far as possible, and also in the legal subcommittees of that office. These cases are addressed. But I want to agree to you, I think the question is that these things go very slow. There's also a number of cases where people bring a case to court and then the thing just becomes dormant. And I think that things need to be taken off the database as well, because they give the wrong impression on those kind of things. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you
water at that specific parameter where the school is, then we have a problem, especially in providing the learner with drinking water. What are you, or what is the plan of inside the department? And this problem is very huge, especially in last time we were there, in the deep school. And the problem is also in not so used in modern state, but in Tohoku we find that problem, and also now in Malanga we find that problem. We must have the information about us as a politician plan to provide those students with training.
About a growing interest in this area.
availability of lawyers, etc., that's causing the system. And one of the things we've got to clarify is how does the Constitutional Court understand this litigation, understand some of the nature of litigation, which impacts on the way you administer government mandates and government functions. There's a whole range of things here that we do, but in specific terms, in response to honourable member, definitely with increasing capacity in terms of our legal services, in the National Department, and also our legal department. Now, we've had a long-standing meeting, which we're really implementing strongly now, coordinate legal services across provinces and national, and to make sure that we inform in good time. Because sometimes I only hear the entitlement in some court case after the court case has happened. We must inform the province, the minister or IFC. So we've gone a long way in solving the problem. On the sanitation and the life system I spoke about, what we do there, and the honourable member is right, it could be a big problem if there's no drinking water, but that's not the case in the school. We can't use the water we generate for sanitation, for the water it can. In the school at Titus, where the system is, we've got about 20 rainwater harvesting tanks that are able to use modern technology, which means that water is really quite good, possible for us. In addition, we have bowls for drinking water. But we don't use that water for flushing. So we separate the two. Drinking solution is rainwater harvesting and bowls, and then pushing for connection to water supply with the municipalities in the area. But up to that point, rainwater harvesting bowls, and then sanitation removal. However, the honourable member did raise the point that there are many schools that don't have water at this point in time. And clearly they are saying, and that's the point I was making, that we need to deal with the sanitation and the toilet problem. We need to make sure rainwater harvesting involves a short-term measure and look at the long-term solutions. So that's what I meant in terms of that. The chairperson, in terms of the quarterly meetings, these meetings have been going on now. We've already had about four meetings. But the honourable chairperson, these are meetings where the minister calls all the district heads to Pretoria throughout the country. They all come. And we have these details the whole day of it. And she's there the entire deputy minister. But in addition to that, we go to districts, like you say, we go to schools on a regular basis. We also send our IQM members to schools with a tool that they use to observe a whole lot of things, from curriculum to NSNC implementation. However, on the chairperson, you are raising critical issues that on the ground, the gap between policy intent and what that means on the ground is very stark. Especially if you go to schools, you know, poor. And that's something that we're very aware of, and something we really want to do. That meeting with district directors and centered monitoring is an effort to address. We also do a lot of evaluations, like NSNC, school nutrition evaluation. So we do that. But definitely on the chairperson, we definitely wouldn't deny that there are problems on the ground. In terms of social impact, with your permission, we'd like to end the social well-being.
Thank you. My understanding was that the honourable chairperson was making a comment about the impact of the
Thank you, Cici, and your delegation, honourable members, thank you. But Cici, I must indicate that where I'm concerned, you know, this is my wish, this is my fear, to see that, you know, we should understand. We should prove that, yes, you know. You can't be having your provincial department who doesn't know what is happening on the ground. You can't be having a district who doesn't know what is happening. You know, like I'm saying, you know, other things are very good. I'm not going to say, you know, him. Lebele, talk about the environment. It's a reality. It's so painful when you find. You know, gangsters. People are not even attending. Literally, learners forming gangsters. In a month, you get the two cases that two learners are. And this is something, you know, to go on the ground and to sit here. Because I think it's a little bit really my wish is to see that people can also go this step and be involved and be part of what is happening on the ground. But this is what it is saying. I think my prayers would be what we have to have my prayers. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.